This is Vermont Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Alex Keefe. When Richard Laws was released from prison earlier this month, law enforcement sounded the alarm from one end of Vermont to the other. A high-risk sex offender was once again on the streets. Critics say that does nothing to help sex offenders reintegrate into society. Well, today we're talking with 7 Days reporter Mark Davis, who spent a lot of time recently with Laws for a profile he wrote about his life on the outside. He also uncovered some things that do raise questions about Laws' case. Mark, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And just a word of warning, this interview will contain some graphic descriptions of Laws' crime. Mark, you spent some time in Burlington with Laws, walking around, seeing where he's living, what he's like out in public. What kind of a guy is he, and what is his life like now?
So he's living in a fairly peculiar fishbowl, if you can imagine being in prison for more than 2 decades and then coming out of the chute. That in and of itself, I think, would be difficult. You add into it this incredible layer of public scrutiny. There were media stories about his release before he even came out. It was a big deal. There were television cameras that followed him in his first hours of freedom. That spotlight would be intense for anyone. It's an odd situation. When I spent time with him, he had a lot of looks from people who you could tell they knew him from somewhere. They couldn't quite figure out where. There were certainly also other people who stared at him and knew who he was and kind of glared at him. It was quite odd. He was going into businesses, nonprofit agencies, trying to rebuild his life. He always introduced himself, said who he was, that he was recently released from prison. He's not trying to hide, I think in part because he knows he can't.
There's certainly a reason that Richard Laws has gotten so much scrutiny. Tell us about the crime he was convicted of that sent him to prison for 23 years in the first place.
Yeah, the crime was quite grisly. He was convicted of attacking, raping, and nearly beating a woman to death that he had met at a bar in the Mad River Valley area. She nearly died. It was a fairly brutal assault. So he was labeled a high-risk sex offender. He maxed out on his sentence, in part because he did not complete the sex offender treatment program inside the prison.
We should say that there is a Vermont law in the books that would prevent someone who didn't get treatment from being released, but he was sentenced before this law went into effect, is my understanding.
He was sentenced before there was even a sex offender registry in Vermont, actually, yeah. And I think it's fair to say that were he to commit that same sort of crime today, he'd probably be incarcerated for much longer, if not life.
Part of the concern with the Richard Laws case for law enforcement is that he's homeless. He has nowhere to live. And when it comes to sex offender registries, that makes him really, really hard to track. You saw where he was staying, where he was sleeping at least. Tell us what his living conditions are like.
He's staying with some friends in Barrie, who he's known for a long time before prison. Was, you know, fairly skittish about revealing exactly where that is for obvious reasons. It's fair to say, though, that those friends have had some of their own struggles in life, and the home is in some state of disrepair to the extent that Mr. Laws pitched a tent in their spare bedroom as sort of a clean, safe space, and he lives in that tent in their bedroom, in their home.
So he actually lives inside of a tent inside of a house, but the house is so dirty that he doesn't want to live in the house itself.
Essentially right, yes. He lives, there's an air mattress that he inflates every day. He has a chest in there with his legal papers and a jar of Nutella. That is his home for now.
When law enforcement was sending out all of these warnings about Laws' release a few weeks ago, one thing they focused on was that he was a non-compliant sex offender, meaning he refused to get treatment while he was in prison. Laws gave you some documents that raised questions about whether he sought treatment. What do we know about that claim?
So it's still a bit of a gray area, but yes, you're right. DOC trumpeted him as a non-compliant person who refused treatment. There is some evidence that, in fact, he sought treatment while in prison and was denied it. He filed a lawsuit at one point, didn't have an attorney seeking treatment. There's also some documents that suggest that the DOC at one point told the parole board that Mr. Laws had refused to seek treatment and refused to undergo the assessment, which is the first part of entering treatment. And there are documents that later have the DOC acknowledging that, in fact, that was mistaken, that he had gone through and completed that assessment. Like I said, this is fairly complicated, and DOC really refused to discuss him, citing some privacy rules.
Critics of sex offender registries like the ACLU of Vermont say they simply don't work. They don't keep people safe. They only stigmatize sex offenders after they get out of prison. They don't do anything to help offenders become productive members of society. What has Law's situation been like as far as getting services and his reintegration process so far?
Extremely difficult, to say the least. So in the days after the DOC and law enforcement started making these public claims about Mr. Laws, a lot of places sort of took out restraining orders or no trespass orders against him preemptively. There's about a dozen businesses in Barrie that have forbidden him from coming in. He says he's never even heard of most of these places, let alone been inside them or done anything wrong. The University of Vermont also took out a no trespass order against Mr. Laws. He was going to rely on the bus to take him from Barrie to Burlington to access a lot of the social services in Burlington. The bus has a stop on the UVM campus, so he said, I stopped taking the bus for fear of running afoul of that no trespass order and perhaps getting in further legal trouble. He is, again, he's someone with not a lot of money who hasn't been free in almost three decades and few friends. So most of his time right now is spent hooking up with social services, getting food, setting up a mailbox for the first time. He needed help setting up a cell phone and his voicemail. And being a sex offender makes that infinitely more difficult. One example is that he went to the Burlington Housing Authority trying to see if maybe there was some public housing assistance he could get. And I went with him there. And when he first came in and introduced himself and said, I'm a recently released inmate, they walked him through the process. It was going well. He was on the verge of setting up an appointment to try to get help housing. And at the very end, it came out that he was on the lifetime sex offender registry. And at that moment, the housing authority said, oh, no, sorry, we're prohibited from helping you in that situation. A lot of critics of these registries say that they essentially are driving these people to homelessness because of the public stigma, because of the intense scrutiny, and because of all the supports that we essentially take away from them. And Mr. Laws, frankly, fears that that will be his fate. And part of the reason he said he bought that tent was he figured it would come in handy if he inevitably ends up in the woods one day.
We've been talking with Mark Davis. He's a reporter for 7 Days in Burlington. He recently wrote a profile of convicted sex offender Richard Laws, who is now out of prison. Mark, thank you.
Thank you.